Usually when we think about how the universe works, we kind of picture this impossibly massive, infinitely complex machine.
Right, just this endless grind of physics.
Yeah, exactly. Like you look at the smartphone in your pocket doing billions of calculations a second, or you look up at the night sky, at black holes and galaxies, and there's this underlying assumption of a grind, a step-by-step exhaustive process where reality has to calculate every single little thing that happens, one microsecond at a time, just to keep existing.
It's the assumption that the universe is essentially sweating, right? Sweating just to compute the next moment of time.
Right. But what if it isn't grinding at all? What if all of that, from the smallest subatomic particle to the largest galaxy, is fundamentally operating on a single, mathematically elegant shape?
What if it's just spinning?
Exactly. So welcome to today's deep dive. We have this fascinating text file in front of us today outlining a framework called the Circle Hypothesis of Computation, or the CHC. And it completely rewrites the basic mechanics of reality.
It really does. It's wild.
It is. So our mission today is to unpack this massive theory. But to understand this cosmic shortcut, I feel like we first have to look at how we actually define computation right now. We have to understand the grind that it's replacing, right?
Yeah, we do, because traditional computation is heavy lifting. I mean, in computer science, if you want to know where a complex system will be in the future, say you're predicting global weather patterns or the stock market, you have to compute every single step to get there.
Right, the system has to do the work.
Exactly. We call this O of N complexity. The N basically represents the number of sequential steps.
So if you want to predict the weather 100 days out, you have to do 100 days worth of math.
Right. A traditional computer can't just skip chapter four to read chapter five. It has to simulate, every drop of moisture, every shift in wind pressure, literally moment by moment to eventually arrive at the hurricane.
The system has to fully experience its own simulated history to reach the future.
Beautifully put, yes.
Because, and this is the kicker, if you miss one variable on day three, day 99 is completely wrong.
Right, the butterfly effect, essentially. Every state depends entirely on the previous state. But the circle hypothesis proposes this radical alternative.
This is where it gets good. Okay, let's unpack this.
So it argues that if a system is fundamentally stable, it naturally operates on what mathematics calls a limit cycle, which in simple terms is a circle.
A circle, just a loop.
Yeah. And once a system is on a circle, you don't compute the future anymore, you just derive it.
Okay, so think about, let's use an analogy here. Think about a runner training on a circular track.
Perfect. Yeah.
In a traditional, O of N simulation, to figure out where that runner will be in an hour, we'd have to calculate the physics of their shoes hitting the rubber.
The friction of the wind, the exact stride length for like thousands of consecutive steps.
Right, thousands of calculations. But under the circle hypothesis, we discard all that heavy processing. We just say, well, they're on a circular track running at a set frequency.
What's fascinating here is you only need to store three pieces of information to know literally everything about them: the center of the track, the radius of their lane, and their phase.
And phase is just their current position on the circle, right?
Exactly.
And with those three things, the math completely changes. I mean, looking at the text, it says future computation drops from O of N complexity down to O of 1 complexity.
Which is massive.
It's huge. For those listening, O of 1 means the time factor becomes entirely irrelevant. Predicting where that runner will be a billion years from now takes the exact same amount of computational effort as predicting where they will be 1 second from now.
Because you don't calculate the billion years of footsteps.
Right, you just plug in the timestamp and rotate the phase forward. The future is already baked into the rotation.
It's just simple arithmetic on known parameters. The system is suddenly free of the heavy, floating point operations that usually bog down physics engines.
Okay, but let me push back a little here. The math is elegant, sure, but reality isn't a sterile equation. You're telling me the universe doesn't compute anomalies.
Well,
I mean, if we go back to the track, what if the runner trips? Or on a cosmic scale, what if a rogue asteroid smashes into a planet and shifts its orbit? The quote-unquote circle is broken. How does a pre-computed circle account for total chaos?
that's a great question. The theory doesn't ignore chaos, it isolates it. So this is handled by what the authors call the Deviation Integration Framework, or the DIF.
The DIF, okay.
Yeah. The underlying computational layer of the universe isn't blind. It employs deviation detection. So the system is constantly monitoring for anomalies, what the text mathematically refers to as an epsilon greater than zero.
Got it.
So as long as the runner is in their lane, epsilon is practically zero, and literally zero computation is needed. Just keep spinning.
So it's just checking to see if they're still following the script.
Exactly. It only does the heavy O of N computing when an anomaly actually happens. Like if the runner trips, drifting outward or inward, the system flags the deviation.
It spots the epsilon.
Right. And then it spends processing power to compute the necessary correction for that specific mistake. It handles the physics of the fall, and then it immediately re-embeds the runner back onto a new stable limit cycle.
Wow. So normal computation recalculates the entire world every single frame, just in case something changes. But circle computation only recalculates the mistakes.
Precisely.
Which actually creates a really fascinating framework for things that usually break traditional logic.
Oh, like paradoxes.
Yes. Liar's paradox. I love this part of the text. So the classic sentence, this statement is false.
A classic brain breaker.
Right. If you feed that into a traditional logic gate, it crashes. The computer says, okay, if it's true, then it must be false. But if it's false, then it's telling the truth, so it's true. And it just gets trapped.
It gets stuck in an infinite true-false loop and just grinds its gears, calculating to infinity.
Exactly. But under this circle hypothesis, it doesn't crash at all.
Because it doesn't view the paradox as a broken linear progression. It maps the paradox to a point on a circle.
Just turns it into an oscillation. I mean, step one, the phase is at true. Step two, it rotates 180 degrees to false. Step three, it rotates back to true.
The universe's deviation detection looks at it, realizes the frequency is just flipping back and forth in a stable limit cycle, and it just stops calculating.
It just says, oh, this isn't a broken truth. This is just a phase rotation.
Mm-hmm.
It resolves an infinite system crashing paradox with zero processing effort.
It's so elegant. And you know, if computation is just navigating these circular shortcuts to avoid infinite loops and heavy processing, it completely changes how we understand physical forces, too.
Yeah, here's where it gets really interesting.
The source text takes this theoretical math and applies it to the actual fabric of reality, starting with gravity.
The big one.
Gravity, according to this framework, is not a traditional force. It is not mass bending the fabric of space-time, you know, the way we normally visualize Einstein's heavy bowling ball resting on a rubber sheet.
Right. The classic trampoline metaphor.
Yeah. Throw that out. Gravity is what the theory calls temporal phase drift.
Temporal phase drift.
Okay.
So if everything is operating on these mathematical circles, gravity is what happens when those circles stop lining up.
Yes. Let's visualize it with sound. Imagine two musicians on a massive stage trying to play the exact same symphony.
Okay.
But one musician is playing at a slightly slower tempo. Over time, they start to drift out of sync. The music becomes chaotic, discordant. To maintain the harmony of the song, they have to physically move closer together across the stage.
Oh, so the sound waves travel faster between them, reducing that acoustic delay.
Exactly. That physical pull they feel to stay in sync with each other, that mechanism is gravity.
That is such a cool way to look at it. So the physical universe is doing that, but with computational speed. Massive objects, like the Earth, have a huge computational radius, so they process very slowly.
Right.
And an apple falling from a tree has a tiny computational radius, so its quantum processes compute incredibly fast. They're playing the same song at vastly different tempos.
Every physical system has a computational frequency. The text calls it an omega. Because the Earth's omega is so low and the apple's omega is so high, their phases constantly drift apart.
But the universe hates that.
It does. The universe requires causal coherence. The observer and the observed must remain in phase to interact. So to prevent the fast apple and the slow Earth from falling completely out of sync and breaking reality, the universe enforces a correction. It reduces the physical distance between them.
It pulls them together to close the computational gap. That fundamentally explains why gravity is so incredibly weak compared to the other fundamental forces.
Yeah.
I mean, electromagnetism happens between particles that are essentially the same size with similar computational speeds. They stay in sync easily.
Mm-hmm.
But gravity is the force trying to reconcile vastly different scales, like a massive planet and a tiny apple. The drift is massive. So gravity is just the universe's constant sweeping effort to maintain synchronization across extreme scale differences.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this redefines the extremes of our universe as well, like black holes.
Oh, right.
In general relativity, a black hole is a tear in
Crap.
space-time, right?
Yay.
A singularity of infinite density where all our physics equations just break
All
down.
right, a literal hole.
But under the circle hypothesis, a black hole is a circle collapse. The radius of a star's computational circle shrinks to zero, and because of how the math balances its computational frequency, its omega accelerates to infinity.
It just spins infinitely fast.
It spins so fast that phase becomes completely meaningless. A black hole isn't a physical hole, it's a computation running infinitely fast, bounded by an event horizon where no phase information can ever escape back into the slower universe.
Well, okay, wait. So if gravity is circles drifting out of sync because they are vastly different sizes, what happens to things that are the exact same size? Does the universe still have to pull them together, or do they just perfectly sync up forever?
This is how the text decodes the mysteries of quantum mechanics. You're talking about entanglement.
Yes.
In standard quantum physics, entanglement is famously baffling. Einstein derided it as spooky action at a distance. We take two particles, we entangle them, and we separate them by hundreds of miles.
Right. And according to standard tests, like measuring their spin states, if you observe particle A to be spin up,
Particle B instantly, in that exact microsecond, assumes a spin-down state. It defies the speed of light. Physicists have spent decades looking for hidden variables or secret, faster-than-light communication channels to explain how particle B knows what happened to particle A.
because the assumption has always been, if I measure particle A here, and particle B instantly reacts a light year away, they must be sending a signal.
Right.
Information is traveling faster than light, which completely breaks physics.
Under the standard model, it's a massive headache. But under the circle hypothesis, it's incredibly simple. There is no signal.
No signal at all.
None. Entangled particles are not two separate objects communicating across a distance. They are literally the exact same computational circle.
Wait, really? The same circle.
They share the identical mathematical center, the identical frequency, and their phase is permanently locked.
So it's an illusion. It's like looking at the front and back of the same coin and being shocked that when the front flips over, the back flips over too. You're
Exactly.
looking at two different physical locations and assuming they're two different coins, but in the underlying code of the universe, it's just one object.
The location is just a variable. The underlying limit cycle is singular. Measuring one reveals the other because they were never truly separate.
That is wild.
And this circular logic demystifies the Heisenberg uncertainty principle as well.
Oh, I was wondering how that fits in.
Standard physics states you cannot perfectly measure a particle's position and its momentum simultaneously, right?
Right. The more precisely you pin down where an electron is, the less you know about how fast it's moving, and vice versa.
Yeah.
It's often framed as this mystical quantum fuzziness built into nature.
But if particles are just circles, uncertainty isn't mystical fuzziness, it's the physical thickness of the circle's phase.
Okay, unpack that for me. Physical thickness.
Yeah, to have a circle, to have rotation, frequency, and computation, you must have a non-zero phase extent. It has to have some physical spread to exist as a wave.
Oh, I see.
If you try to squeeze that circle down to find its exact perfect point of position, you violently distort its phase. And distorting the phase ruins your knowledge of its momentum.
Because you cannot have a perfect mathematical point and a perfect rotating circle at the same time. The structure of the universe literally forbids it. Okay, we've built a beautiful theoretical universe here. We've turned gravity into a software patch for lag and quantum entanglement into a shared file directory. But theoretical is the key word.
Always.
We've completely rewritten the cosmos, but as you always hear, a theory is only as good as its proof. Does this actually work in practice? Like, if you program a computer to run this way, if you rewrite standard physics engines to use limit cycles instead of heavy step-by-step math, does it actually reduce the load?
Well, the authors knew that elegant math isn't enough without empirical proof. The source material includes a rigorous benchmark suite.
Awesome.
They actively tested traditional computational methods against the circle method to see if treating complex systems as limit cycles actually saves processing power.
Okay, what did they test it on?
To prove this, researchers took standard supercomputer setups used for n-body physics
Oh,
simulations.
wow. So for those who don't know, an n-body problem is traditionally a complete nightmare for a computer.
Oh, a total nightmare.
If you want to simulate a solar system, the CPU is just sweating. It has to calculate the gravity of Jupiter pulling on Mars, while Mars pulls on Earth, while the Sun pulls on all of them, constantly updating every overlapping gravitational vector frame by frame.
Right. The complexity scales exponentially with every single object you add. It is brutally inefficient. O of n squared, usually.
It's a grind.
But the researchers swapped the underlying code. They programmed the planets not as independent physical bodies calculating gravity, but as limit cycles.
Using the deviation integration framework.
Yes. The computer didn't calculate orbits. It just derived them using O of one constant time. It only spent processing power to look for deviations, like, say, an asteroid passing through the system.
And looking at the hard numbers here in the text, this is staggering. The results show a massive 10 to 100 times speed up for n-body problems.
It's incredible.
The CPU usage dropped to almost zero because it wasn't crunching physics anymore. It was just rotating phases. And pattern prediction gets a 3 to 10 times speed up because it requires no machine learning, just phase rotation, paradox resolution. Infinitely faster.
Because it detects a cycle rather than crashing into an infinite loop.
They proved you don't need a supercomputer to run a complex universe. You just need highly efficient software.
And this raises an important question. If a human-built computer can simulate the physics of a solar system 100 times faster by treating everything as a circle, it raises a profound thermodynamic question.
Okay.
Nature always seeks the path of least resistance, right? The lowest energy state. From an evolutionary perspective, if the universe can conserve that much processing energy by treating everything as a circle, by rotating phases instead of computing brutal step-by-step trajectories,
then isn't it highly probable that the universe itself is using that exact same efficiency? Wow. So what does this all mean? We've covered a lot of ground today. But if you take a step back and look at it from this perspective, the universe is not made of solid matter or invisible forces.
No.
It is entirely made of phase. It is this vast, interconnected symphony of circles, phase-locked and phase-drifting. Some are locked together across light years in quantum entanglement, acting as a single coin. Some are drifting and pulling at each other, creating the illusion of gravity to maintain their coherence.
It's computing itself into existence, not through a brutal, exhausting grind, but through a perfect, elegant rotation.
It's kind of beautiful. But before we go, there was one final mind-expanding nugget tucked into the very end of this source material that I want to leave you with. If everything is a limit cycle, what does that mean for you?
Yeah, this part is wild.
The listener. The text predicts that consciousness itself is simply a very high-frequency circle.
Because your mind computes incredibly fast.
Right. It operates at an extreme tempo. And because the universe strictly enforces causal coherence, it demands that things stay in sync. When you observe the world, your high-speed circle interacts with the slower, fuzzy quantum possibilities around you.
By merely looking, your high-frequency mind forces those uncertain quantum states to phase-lock to your tempo.
It collapses them into a defined reality. So the next time you step outside, look at a tree, or watch a passing car, you really have to wonder, is reality solidifying around you right now simply because your high-frequency mind is forcing it to keep up with your tempo? If the universe is a beautifully pre-computed dance, are you the one setting the rhythm?